You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
If you've been around the church for more than like 5 minutes, you've probably heard people use the words soul and spirit like they're interchangeable. And then you hit a verse like Hebrews 4:12 that talks about the word of God piercing between the two, and suddenly it feels like you need a degree in spiritual anatomy just to understand who you are. Are you a two-part being, you know, body and soul, or are you a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit? And is your spirit the good part while your soul is the messy emotional part? That's what some people teach. Or does it really even matter? Well, today we're going deep into the ghost in the machine. We're going to look at the dichotomist versus the trichotomist debate. In fact, if you want to follow along with some articles on this debate, I'm going to be covering a few of them. One of them is entitled, Is There a Difference Between Soul and Spirit? The second is called, What is the Dichotomist View of Human Beings? And the third one is, What is the Trichotomist View of Human Beings? And I'll put links to all of these articles in the show notes. If you want to take a deep dive on the keyword related to this, the keyword is actually just humanity. We're talking about, in systematic theology, what we might call anthropology, the study of human beings, but not from a scientific or secular point of view, but rather from a theological point of view. What does the Bible say about human beings and how their, you know, like spiritual anatomy connects to their physical anatomy? Now, when we talk about what makes a human, we're asking one of the oldest questions in history. In the secular world, scientists debate mind and body dualism. They want to know if you are just a collection of firing neurons and chemical reactions, or if there's something else. And the truth is, science can't really give us the answer to that. This is something that we really need to go to the Bible for. So as followers of Jesus, we know there is something else, clearly. But the question is, how many parts is that something else? So let's go back to the beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, to take a look at the creation account. It says in verse 7 that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Now, notice the math here. We've got two things going on. We have the material person, the body formed from the dust, and we have the immaterial, which is when God breathed his life into the person. And once these two things come together, the result was a human being, Adam, and then later Eve. Now, the Hebrew word for person there is nephesh. A lot of times it's translated as soul. We actually have some content on this in the library as well. In the original language, it doesn't just mean a ghost trapped in a body. It actually means a living being. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. As a human being, you are fundamentally a soul. Now, as we human beings tried to understand this throughout church history, two camps kind of emerged, the trichotomy camp and the dichotomy camp. Trichotomists believe that human beings have three distinct parts. They have body, soul, and spirit. And here's how they would typically break that down. They'd say the body is the physical vessel that relates to the environment. That's what every camp believes. The soul is defined as the seat of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Basically, the soul is the human personality. And the spirit is viewed as the higher, distinct part of the immaterial self that is specifically designed to commune with God. Proponents of this view typically rely on some of those passages in the New Testament where the words soul and spirit appear in the same list as apparently two separate things. Like, for example, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So if this is the only thing we had in Scripture that explained this concept, we would probably all be trichotomists. Because the argument would be pretty simple. We'd say, okay, well, obviously, there's three things listed here. This is the only place that it ever appears. So trichotomy must be the real answer to this puzzle. But this isn't actually all that the Bible says about it. Now, the central claim of trichotomy is that the soul and the spirit serve different roles. So trichotomists will suggest that the soul represents our self-consciousness, where the spirit represents our God consciousness. So in this view, the soul is what allows us to think and to reason and to feel, where the spirit is the part of us that was made dead by the fall, right? Our spirits died when Adam and Eve first sinned. And then when we are born again, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, your spirit is what comes alive. Your God consciousness comes alive again. Now, this provides a neat illustration for spiritual growth, but the problem that many theologians have with this, the reason that most theologians, evangelical theologians today, are dichotomists, is because there's this risk of compartmentalizing the person. If we see the soul and spirit as entirely separate, then we could think that, well, our spirit can stay pure while our soul, our thoughts and emotions, struggle with sin. Now, again, a trichotomist would say exactly, and maybe to them, this is like a helpful way of looking at this internal conflict. You know, we see this tug of war, that there's this, the spirit, our God consciousness, is pulling against the soul, which is influenced by our natural human desire. And so a trichotomist can kind of simplify that whole thing, and they would say, this is just how spiritual warfare works. It's this battle between soul and spirit. And, you know, it's not wrong or sinful to be a trichotomist, even though obviously if you're paying attention to this episode, you'll see that I lean more toward the dichotomist view. And let me explain why. The dichotomist view is the belief that human beings consist in two parts, just two parts: the physical body, the material, and the immaterial, the soul or the spirit. In other words, the soul and the spirit are both referring to the immaterial part. So in simplest terms, there's just the material and the immaterial. So basically, the soul and the spirit are two different names for the same immaterial essence that lives on after the body dies, after our physical earthly bodies die. So a dichotomist would argue that when soul and spirit show up at the same time in the same verse, like what we looked at earlier, or like in Luke 1, 46 and 47, where Mary is singing to the Lord, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior," a dichotomist would just say, well, this is just parallelism. This is like the author, biblical author, using two different words to express the same deep emotion from the inner self. So we wouldn't split hairs on those kinds of verses, because the overall arc of Scripture seems to really just point to a simpler material versus immaterial existence. Again, that Genesis 2 verse 7 passage is fundamental for the dichotomist view. Clearly, there was a human being who was given a physical body and then was breathed into so that they had life. That was the spirit slash soul part of it. Another compelling argument for the dichotomist is that Jesus seemed to use the terms interchangeably. He spoke about the soul as the part of man that must be saved or lost in Matthew 16. And he also, when he was on the cross, he commended his spirit to the Father. So he didn't seem to make a distinction between soul and spirit. So a dichotomist would say to the trichotomist, we're not like a ghost in a machine. We're not a three-layered cake. We're one unified being made of dust and divinity, right? Made of the material and the immaterial part. And so this view helps us to understand spiritual growth. We are avoiding over-spiritualizing our faith by separating our emotions from our relationship with God, you know, like a trichotomist would say. And this is a reminder to us that God is interested in redeeming the entire inner being. So the soul and the spirit is the inner person. It's the whole inner person. And when God does a work in us, he does a work in our entire person, including our emotions, our thoughts. Even though we're not perfected yet, the work of salvation impacts the entire person. So our entire heart is made new. Heart meaning our inner person, our inner being, our soul slash spirit. So the dichotomist view teaches that our entire immaterial self, whether you call it soul or spirit, was affected by the fall, and the whole self is in need of regeneration. And when that happens, when we're born again, when we put our faith in Jesus, God doesn't just fix a spirit compartment in our hearts. He begins a work of transformation that encompasses our thoughts, our will, our feelings, and our spiritual life all as one. Now, if you look at the New Testament, the Greek words are psuche for soul and pneuma for spirit. And if these were two different organs inside your chest, you'd expect the Bible to use them very specifically, but it doesn't. It uses them like a songwriter uses synonyms to add flavor to what we're reading. Now, in the Old Testament, this is called parallelism. It's like saying, I'm happy and I'm glad, right? This is what Mary does, as I mentioned earlier, in her song to the Lord. She's not saying that her soul is doing one thing and her spirit is doing another thing. She's saying that her entire inner being is lit up. Or when Jesus on the cross said, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. But in Matthew 10, earlier, when he's warning people about the reality of hell, he uses a different word. He says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. If the soul and the spirit were different compartments, then which one goes to God? Which one is at risk in hell? The answer is both, because they're the same thing. They represent the inner person that survives the death of the physical body. And that's why Jesus calls it spirit in one case, and he calls it soul in another one. Maybe you can kind of think of the difference between soul and spirit. If you really wanted to make a distinction, think of it like the words husband and father. I'm both of those things, but I'm one person. When my wife talks to me, I'm her husband. When my kids talk to me, I'm their father. Same guy, different relationship contexts. So if you really want to find a distinction between soul and spirit, the soul a lot of times emphasizes your individual life, your personality, your you-ness, while the spirit a lot of times emphasizes that same inner life in its orientation toward God. But to draw a hard distinction between the two, this is my point, is potentially dangerous. Okay, so let's then tackle the elephant in the room, that Hebrews 4:12 verse. It says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, you could imagine that trichotomists love this verse. They say this verse proves that soul and spirit are separate. They say, see, the word, God's word, divides them. But look at the second half of that metaphor. He says joint and marrow. Have you ever tried to separate marrow from a bone? You don't just unclip it. Marrow is inside the bone. To divide them, you have to smash the bone open. The author of Hebrews isn't giving us a technical chart of human anatomy. He's using a metaphor for penetration. He's saying that God's word penetrates so deep that it reaches the parts of you that are impossible to separate. It gets into the cracks of your motives. It finds the stuff you've hidden even from yourself. It's not a scalpel separating two organs. It's a light piercing into the deepest basement of your heart. So you might be thinking, okay, cool word study, but how does this help me on Monday morning? When we believe we have a good spirit and a bad soul, we can start to live a fractured life. We can start to think, well, my spirit is saved and my spirit loves God, but my mind is just messy, so it doesn't matter what I think about or how I feel. And this right here is a dangerous lie. If you are a unified, whole human being, then when you're born again, God isn't just fixing a tiny spirit compartment of you. He's actually redeeming all of you. So that means your emotions matter. Your soul isn't an enemy to your spirit. It's part of how you experience God. And your mind matters. Romans 12 says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And your body matters. We believe in the resurrection of the body. God doesn't just want your ghost. He wants the whole person. In fact, the Bible says that we will be resurrected with resurrection bodies. We're going to have bodies. There's still, even in heaven, there's still going to be a material and an immaterial part of us. Now, that material part of us is going to be different than the material part of us on earth. We don't exactly know how, but we get a little bit of a glimpse of it when we see the resurrected Jesus who had a resurrected body. The Bible says we will as well. So the dichotomist view reminds us that the fall affected every single fiber of our being. Our logic is broken. Our emotions are skewed. Our spiritual connection to God was severed. All of it, every part of us, material and immaterial, was tainted by sin. And so when Jesus saves us by his grace, every single part of us then is made new. Now there's kind of an already and a not yet going on there. We're already righteous, fully righteous. We're robed in the complete, perfect righteousness of Christ in the court of heaven. But here on earth, it's not yet a reality. That's where sanctification comes in. This is the process of becoming like Jesus, and it's a holistic work. God wants to align your thoughts, your feelings, your physical habits, your spiritual longings into one rhythmic heartbeat of worship. So, are you a soul or are you a spirit? My answer is yes. You're a marvelous, complex unity of dust and breath. You're a physical body and a spiritual soul, woven together so tightly that only the Word of God can truly discern the depths of your motives. So don't try to compartmentalize your faith. Don't give God your spirit while keeping your mind or your emotions for yourself. He's interested in the whole you. He created the whole you. He died for the whole you. And one day, he's going to resurrect the whole you. We as human beings are not just a ghost in a machine. There's so much more to us than that.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.